The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know what people talk about legacy? Narcissist.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not a narcissist.
Yes, those are the people that talk about. Who gives a sugar about?
Judas Priest Barber is one of those flaming bags again.
Don't put it out with your boots, Tad.
Don't tell me my business, devil woman. Call the fire department. Oh. This one's out of control.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah, I was ready. I was
ready. Made you outrageously happy right there.
Yes.
I pump faked them.
You did.
It was awesome.
You were beyond the line of scrimmage.
Poop again.
He caught the poop.
This is the best night of my life.
I'll get you damn kids for this. You're all gonna die.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it. She's running around. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it.
I feel like you might be contractually obligated on Groundhog Day to start your show with OK Campers Rise and Shine. Don't forget your booties. It's cold outside.
What's that from?
He hasn't seen it because he lives it.
Yeah. It's true.
Why would I have to watch it? I live it every day.
It'd be boring.
I really think you'd enjoy the movie. I really do.
At what point would he turn it off? Because he turns off all comedies at some point. He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Muy bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you. Maybe when he drops the toaster in the tub.
Yeah.
Maybe
when he's going through all the ways to kill himself.
Yeah.
See, I probably find it annoying and not a big deal. What's the big deal? Gabe. I show up here 23 to 26, generally, right?
Yeah. But he literally wakes up every day.
You know
on
where
the
I'm going
day.
From here?
You're going to the gym.
And then you know where I'm going from there?
Sendix.
And then where I'm going from there?
Home.
There you go.
Excuse me. Somewhere in between there, there's a stop
smoothie?
For a smoothie. Yep.
There
smoothie
we go.
King.
We just watched Groundhog Day.
I don't know. It's, what's on today? Is it Mountain Men?
Actually, Yukon Gold is.
That's the new one?
The potatoes?
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
I don't want to offend anyone. Are Canadians generally just kind of flat and blah?
What?
I mean,
not a lot of emotion.
Clearly Canadian? Trying to pivot off of a group of people to
it's just this Yukon Gold
bubbly beverage.
I love it, but it's depressing. All they talk about is, we're going to leave it alone. It's just negative.
What, you thought you were going to do a spoiler alert on Yukon Gold?
Yeah, trust me, not going to watch. Yeah.
No? But it's just everyone's down in the dumps and there's no gold and...
It sounds like more like gold-related than Canadian-related.
I guess.
Let me ask you a question. Is Bill Murray overrated?
No.
Underrated? Appropriately rated? What's his best movie?
Stripes.
What about Bob? Caddyshack?
Good, Stripes. Solid.
Stripes is his best movie.
Stripes is very good.
Stripes. Ghostbusters is probably the most popular, most watched. I mean, he's had a really good late career. I don't want to call it renaissance, but he's had a late career good thing going with Wes Anderson movies.
Is he typecast, recently. Though? Is he? I mean, because like Robin Williams... played roles like Dead Poets Society.
Yeah.
Where he plays, Goodwill was fantastic.
Hunting.
Great role. Steve Carell, Foxcatcher. Great job.
So if Stripes is his best movie, can we power rank the Bill Murray movies? So if you've got Caddyshack on the list, and you've got Ghostbusters on the list, and you've got Groundhog Day on the list, although Chewie, that's going to be tough for you to power rank since you've never seen it. What about the one where he was the Christmas one, the Christmas dude?
Scrooged.
Scrooged on the list.
What about Bob?
What about Bob on the list? Rushmore on the list. Royal Tenenbaums.
A lot of people love Royal Tenenbaums. I'm
going to be honest. I'm not a Wes Anderson fan. So I actually didn't enjoy the Grand Budapest Hotel either.
He just has
a very specific style of movie making, and it's just not for me.
The one I've enjoyed him the most in Wes Anderson is Moonrise Kingdom, where he's the dad.
I haven't seen that.
He might be a little overrated.
No.
He's a B actor.
No,
I think a smidge. And that's me saying that as a Cubs fan.
Alright.
You know what I mean? Okay, this is dangerous territory that I am wading in, but there's a distinct possibility that he might be slightly overrated.
Chevy Chase or Bill Murray?
Bill Murray.
Ooh.
Not even close. Bill Murray.
Bill Murray is not even close.
But Vacation, Chevy Chase did all the vacation
reason he's so good in them.
Yeah, but did we really need European Vacation or Vegas Vacation?
Did we need the Urine Vacation? No, probably not. I didn't see that one. It's behind the beaded section at the store.
If you looked at the box office, I'd say Chevy Chase is probably bigger.
Nah,
because Caddyshack's a push.
Yeah, well, because they were both in it.
Yes.
But
Ghostbusters versus Vacation. That's what it ends up being.
Ghostbusters. Christmas Vacation has still got some legs.
He was in the Ghostbusters with the ladies, too, in 2016. And then apparently he is also in the new Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters Afterlife film that came out last year, 2 years ago, 2021. So I think that the Ghostbusters and the Vacations cancel each other out.
Okay.
So then what would Chevy Chase's best film be? Fletch?
Oh, you're forgetting the Fletches. There's two Fletches that was very good. Fletch Lives.
Yeah, the second Fletch was
It wasn't bad.
It was fine.
I'd call it Push. Push.
No.
It's just because of golf. Let the golf go.
Well, I mean, Bill Murray is playing today in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, so he's going to be on your television a lot if you watch golf over the next 3 days.
That's an interesting day for him to be playing in the Pebble Beach with it being Groundhog Day and that being one of his better-known roles. I don't know. Put it on the Jen Game and Chewy Twitter poll.
Already did.
Bill Murray or Chevy Chase?
Oh, yeah, I put is he underrated, overrated, or properly rated? I can add the Chevy Chase
one. Yeah, do the Chevy Chase one as well. I'm curious as to what people think. I feel like it's our kind of like generation, right? Like if I were to ask Chase, my kid, who is 14, Bill Murray or Chevy Chase, he'd be like, who the hell are you talking about? I have no idea.
You'd probably know Chevy Chase before Bill Murray.
From Vacation.
Has he seen Space Jam? Bill Murray's in Space Jam.
That's enough. I forgot about Space Jam.
He's the only redeeming part.
I don't play defense.
Funny Farm? That's terrible. Chevy Chase has some bad ones.
He's got some stinkers.
Yeah, he's got some, some real bad ones.
This is telling me that Bill Murray was in Tootsie? I didn't know Bill Murray was in Tootsie.
I've never seen Tootsie.
Dustin Hoffman?
Dustin Hoffman is obviously the main character Tootsie. I didn't know that Bill Murray was in it. I did put it on Twitter this morning saying that Groundhog Day is actually the best movie with the word day in it. If Ferris Bueller's Day Off didn't exist.
No, Independence Day is still better.
Draft Day.
It's
very accurate.
In what world is Draft Day better than Groundhog Day?
How have we talked about Draft Day multiple times this
show? Honestly.
What the hell's going on?
So bad.
Training Day is a good movie.
Training Day is really
good. Not better than Groundhog Day.
Super better.
That's the movie Denzel finally won his Oscar, though.
I still think Groundhog Day is better. Now, full disclosure, Groundhog Day was filmed in Woodstock, Illinois, which is where I went to high school. So all of those scenes, I am very familiar with.
Why I'm against it, honestly.
What do you mean?
Woodstock, come on.
What's wrong with Woodstock? It's a lovely little town.
Snow Grace Lake.
Do you have a square? Do you have an opera house?
We had a lot of things.
But those two things, no.
We had a lot of...
I wouldn't want a square or an opera house. You kidding me?
Square's adorable. It's got a little... Well, you've seen it. You've seen the movie. It's got a little gazebo right in the middle. We used to run, and maybe I've told you guys this, I'm sure I have, but like that was where we ran for cross country. We would run from our school to the square, to the park, which was down the road, Emerickson Park, and that's where we would do all of our cross country conditioning and training. So Woodstock has always had, obviously, close to my heart.
What do you mean training? Cross country practices, hey...
Run.
Go run.
That's literally not how cross-country practice works.
I saw McFarland, USA. That's literally all they do.
What is with your obsession with Kevin Costner?
Great movie. That
loves Yellowstone.
I love him so much. Yes. In fact, if we put him on the poll with Bill Murray and Chevy Chase, you would vote for him 11 times.
Oh, yeah. Costner's got some really good movies.
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
But he's not funny. I don't think I've ever seen him do anything funny. It's not like he's got range.
Yeah, he's kind of like that smoldering, serious character. Although the most funny he probably is was the one that you like.
Bull Durham, yeah.
Jim from Unknown weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line this morning. It is, of course, Groundhog Day. So we were talking about Bill Murray and movies that have the word day in them. Jim says teens know Bill Murray from Zombieland.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great movie.
Really good movie.
Is it?
Yeah. I didn't see the second one. I didn't see the first one, though. It's got... what's his name? Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes, I said definitely.
Woody Harrelson.
Is it like he's like old girlfriends or something like that? Or am I thinking of a different zombie
that
movie?
That is not a zombie movie. That's Scott Pilgrim Saves the World.
That's what I was thinking of. Why did I connect those two?
And that's not even Jesse Eisenberg. That's the kid from...
That's Michael Scott Sarah.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Michael Sarah Scott. Yes. Whatever.
They all sort of blend together.
It's white guys with curly-ish hair.
I'm sure that's how my kid feels.
Woody Harrelson's in Zombieland. There we go.
All right. Well,
you know
helps.
Woody Harrelson.
That does help, actually. I'll be able to keep those apart.
Emma Stone
Brett
in Zombieland.
Brett and O'Claire weighing in saying, what about Days of Thunder? Does Days of Thunder count if it's days instead of day?
I mean, I'm assuming it's getting your vote since it has your favorite actor in the movie.
The adorable Tom Cruise.
Yes.
He's so cute. Tiny, I just want to put him in my pocket.
You guys are like eye to eye.
That's a very good point. When I watch Maverick, Top Gun Maverick, which my husband always says, don't confuse with the Mel Gibson Maverick, right? Because that's actually Maverick. I call this one Maverick, and he's like, the card game movie? Anyway.
That can't be good.
What is that?
That would appear to be a fire alarm that's now going off in the middle of the show.
Looks like we can go off.
So, all right, somebody keep an eye. Okay, clearly just go to break here, right? And keep an eye on Chewy, make sure he doesn't run away.
I think, yeah,
Oh, let's listen. Oh, really?
So let's do what we did in college, just hide in the closet.
I mean, technically, we are in the safest spot of the building right now.
Yeah. If it were a tornado...
Let me see the other stations.
I don't know if I'd want these. These things happen all the time.
Hey, put it on the poll. The fire alarm is going off here at the avenues. Do we need to evacuate? We are going to take a break. We're supposed to have Jason Wilde coming up next on the show. I actually don't know what to do in this situation. So we'll take a break. Be right back after this.
Okay, let me read the tweet.
I figured everything was lethal injection at this point.
It's just usually what happens when I answer a phone call or can't read a tweet. You guys just talk about.
Yeah.
The death penalty, yes.
It's his fault. He did it.
Doing this show is a death penalty.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I just let the old Third Eye Blind play a little bit longer. Maybe they would turn off the fire alarm that is screaming into our ears here in the studios at ESPN Milwaukee. But since that didn't work, we are going to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. As you can hear, it is still going off in our studios. We are going to effort getting it turned off. We don't believe there is any fire, that we are in any imminent danger. But of course, the sound, as you can hear, guys, is pretty annoying. So, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back as soon as we get this thing figured out.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it, but it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
There's your ally, guys. Good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
What a relief. Can't call today Groundhog Day since something like that has never happened before. The fire alarm going off here at the 3rd Street Market at the Avenues where we have our David Gruber One Call That's All studios, ESPN Milwaukee. But we finally got it turned off, and so we are back to our regularly scheduled programming. How you doing, Shu? I feel like that was...
We fumbled on the one, but we stopped them.
Oh, so
adversity. Then, you gotta handle everything, right?
I was in the production office with Ashley. I look in here. Chu's got his feet up on the desk. He's leaning back. He's good. Meanwhile, I'm like unbelievably anxious. The sound of a fire alarm, which again is intentional. It just like courses through your nervous system. Like it was very uncomfortable. I know. Again, that's the point, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to like whoop,
make you
up,
yeah,
move. Go outside. Do not stay. Fortunate to be joined by Jason Wilde now. Jason, wow, that was really, it was alarming is what it was. That was alarming. Jason, good morning.
Nice. Must be all the hot takes that are being delivered on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
That's like, yeah. Jason, the defense picking something off, or there's a fumble, change of possession, and you don't know where your helmet is. Which has happened before.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
That's a good analogy. Yeah, I could see that being the case. Jason, how are you doing today? It feels like this saga is going to continue. I put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll yesterday. What do you think is more likely? That we have Aaron Rodgers' decision about his future in the month of February, which Gabe reminded us yesterday is a short month, or like last year in the month of March?
Yes. because he's made this a two-pronged decision now, right? I mean, if you listen to him on McAfee the other day, he said he felt very confident that in a couple weeks he'll have his decision on one, or he'll have one of his decisions, which of course will be that he wants to play still, and then the next decision will be where. So I think we'll get, in a couple of weeks after the Super Bowl, him coming out and saying, you know, he's decided he wants to play, which will surprise none of us. And then after that, we'll wait and we'll see if he ends up playing for the Green Bay Packers or if he ends up playing for somebody else. And I can't wait.
Jason, what was he talking about when he said, well, sounds like they're making decisions up there without asking me?
Conversations.
Yeah, what was that all about?
Conversations. I'm sure that's him reacting to Adam Schefter's report that wasn't really a report. I'm guessing that's what it was. The league sources believe that the Packers prefer to move on from him, which I don't know if that's true or not. But it's true that there are people in the league who believe that the Packers would like to move on from him. He, for as much as he claims, oh, I don't pay attention to that stuff, or I wouldn't know about it unless Tom Fanning in the Packers PR department didn't keep him apprised of it. It's just not true. Like, it's just not. He doesn't want anybody to think that he cares, or he doesn't want anybody to think that he pays attention, but he pays attention. I know his new agey persona with ayahuasca and panchakarma and all those other fun words to say, is that he doesn't care. He's just all about gratitude, but I don't believe him. I think he does care, and I think he is paying attention. And when Adam reports something, even if he's anti-Adam and anti-ESPN, as he's been during his career, he notices. He's aware. He is nothing if not aware of everything that's going on. So I think that was a reference to that. But again, he and Tausch and I talked about this yesterday. There were so many, again, I don't know how our fans feel. Like, I don't know if they have Rodgers fatigue. I don't know if it's stuff that they want to be hearing us talk about or not. I think we have a responsibility, especially our show as a very Packers-centric show, and you guys as well, that we do need to talk about it, and it is germane to everything that's going on. But he said some other interesting stuff too. I mean, the stuff about leadership was kind of double-edged to me, because one half was him defending his leadership, even though he, again, doesn't feel like he has to. But then the other side of it, especially the Bisaccia stuff, it just felt so much like shots at LaFleur, like him basically suggesting that, without saying LaFleur's name, which is how he operates, right? Just like with the mental errors and guys not doing what they need to do, that LaFleur wants everybody to like him, And Bisaccia has the approach that he really believes in, which, again, it's always easy to really like the assistant coaches who aren't the top boss. They don't you don't answer to them the same way. But it really did feel to me anyway like some passive-aggressive shots at LaFleur.
But to be honest with you, Jason, is why I don't really trust Aaron Rodgers' opinions on coaches, because I think far too often it feels self-serving. It's like, well, what guy would allow me to kind of have autonomy, call the plays at the line of scrimmage, step back? Like, that's how I feel. That's how I interpret when he starts. So, like I said to the guys this morning, I said, do we know if Rich Bisaccia would be a good head coach? I mean, we have the tiny little resume with the Raiders, but I don't know if I trust Rodgers endorsing a guy as a good head coach, because I don't necessarily know if he wants somebody there who is going to hold his feet to the fire or is going to make him fall in line.
Well, look, the first of all, I do think Rich Bisaccia, you know, I like the old guy crew has always been a group that I've really enjoyed covering, and I do like certain aspects. And what I really like about Bisaccia is that he's old school, but, you know, you talk to Dallin Leavitt, you talk to Keyshawn Nixon, guys that have played for him. He also really and truly cares about these guys. Like, there was this great story, and Rich was pissed at his daughter for doing this, but at the end of his interim tenure with the Raiders, he was writing he wrote all these handwritten notes to each player on the roster. And, you know, he was up in his hotel before their last game, and she was in there visiting him, and she took a picture and posted it on social media. And even though I think she had a private, like Facebook or something, it got out into the public eye. And I thought it was really cool. Like, I just thought, here's a guy who gets after his guys and really tells it like it is, but then he also shows them how much he cares about them. And I thought that's the kind of guy that I would want to play for, a guy that, you know, pushes me really hard, but I know is doing it because he cares. Because guys that just yell at you just because that's how they coach, that I wouldn't enjoy that. But I thought this was a really good glimpse into the kind of coaching style he has. Now, that said, I would agree with you on Rodgers. Like, I don't know who he really wants, and I don't know what would happen if he got who he really wanted and how it would work. Because, you know, he was sick of McCarthy. I don't go so far as to say he got him fired, but he certainly didn't help. Then he gets LaFleur, who runs the offense that, you know, I've talked about this before, that they were all in the locker room on a Friday morning amazed by what the Rams had run during a 2018 Thursday night game against the Vikings. He gets a coach who runs that, and of course then it has to be modified to fit what he wants. The shots that he takes, you know, he took one at LaFleur for the play calling choices he made at the end of the Detroit game. You know, I'm not sure he likes playing for LaFleur now either, which, you know, who do you want to play for? Because, you know, you can go play for Nathaniel Hackett with the Jets, but Robert Saleh is not – Robert Saleh is the head coach. It's not Nathaniel Hackett. So, you know, again, I there's part of me that wonders if he just – he would like to be like a player coach. I don't know how long has it been in, like, Major League Baseball since there was a player manager. There were a few when I was a kid. Like, I think Frank Robinson was still playing while he was managing for a period. Did Pete Rose do that before he got kicked out of the league?
Like, probably a little
bit.
I think
Aaron Rodgers wants to be. Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers wants to be the head coach / quarterback.
Jason, when we talked to you on Tuesday, and this is something that you've brought up a number of times about when it comes to it, does Goody have the testicular fortitude to put his name on the piece of paper that trades Aaron Rodgers out of town? So if that ends up being the case, and he doesn't want to do that, and they decide to deal with all these issues that you just listed that he may have now with the head coach as well, is Goody going to at all alter his plan of what the team looks like in 2023? Or is he just going to keep plodding along as if they're going to try to win a Super Bowl in 2024 or 2025?
Yeah, that's a good question, Gabe. I don't know the answer to it. I don't know if he has, you know, I would think, again, I haven't talked to Goody. He did reply to my text when I screenshot one of the tweets we got during the show the other day about how we're on Goody's payroll and he's paying us to talk about trading Rodgers to make it, to manifest it. You know, he claims he can't afford me. I assured him he could. but, you know, I haven't talked to him like in a legitimate, like journalistic way about, do you have parallel game plans? Do you have, all right, here's our game plan for how, what I want to pursue and who I want to pursue and the approach I want to take to this roster if Aaron comes back. And then here's the game plan I have for this roster if Aaron does not come back and we trade him. I have to assume they're preparing for all those eventualities. But again, I just keep going back to this. I keep hearing him say it was the thing that he said that just has resonated with me ever since. And that was during the bye week when he did his press conference with us, and Goody had that line about how ever since I walked in the building, it's always been whatever comes with having a great quarterback, it's worth it. And I just feel like it felt to me like not only was it a statement of what he'd learned from Ron Wolf, it was also a statement that basically said, I am convincing myself and reminding myself every time I get irritated with him or every time he says something, you know, he did it to Goody too after the loss to the Lions, saying that, you know, they never adequately replaced Adams and that things were promised that didn't happen. He expected a veteran receiver to be added during the summer. Didn't happen. He expected a veteran receiver to be added or Darren Waller to be added at the trade deadline. It didn't happen. You know, I just think that Goody keeps reminding himself, all right, it's all worth it until he reaches a point where he says, you know what? After the way he performed and all the other stuff going on and what I think he's going to be in 2023 or 2024, it's not worth it. And I'm going to trade him if it comes to that. And I'm curious to see if he can get there.
Jason, do you think Ron retired at such an early age? I think he was like 64, so he wouldn't have to go through this with Brett?
I don't think that's why he retired, but I do think it saved him from having to do it. Because we were talking about this yesterday. I think I was talking to Homer and Tony about it. I lose track. But, you know, Ron never had to make that call on Brett. Ted did, right? About trading him. And then Ted, God rest his soul, doesn't have to make this call on Rodgers. Goody does. And I have always wondered, like, and I think it was Homer that I said this to, like, let's say, and I, again, I didn't always agree with Ted. He frustrated me when he wouldn't tell us stuff. He was way more, I was going back through some quotes the other night, and he was way more forthcoming early in his career. Like, it was later in his career that he didn't even want to tell you where he thought there were some places where the roster could improve. But let's say he stays totally healthy and never has any cognitive issues before he passed away, and he's here the whole time. Would he trade Aaron Rodgers as the guy who drafted him? Because Rodgers, like Goody, right? Rodgers took shots at Ted all the time about how frustrated he was about young players and never adding veterans and whatever else. So I would love, first of all, just for his own existence, I wish Ted would have never, you know, gotten sick and never had those cognitive issues. But I would love to know what would happen if he was still running the show and whether Rodgers was doing all these things now that he has been, but it's with Ted as GM.
Jason, I want to keep you for just a few more minutes. This is the wide receiver portion of the program. I'm going to ask you two questions. Don't do the thing where you answer only the easier one. I know I'm on to you on that type of stuff. So we saw the Devontae Adams thing with someone asking, where will Mr. Rogers' neighborhood be next? And he responded, mine. I think that's maybe wishful thinking, but it was interesting given what we know about the way things kind of went with Devontae leaving town. And then yesterday, Gabe brought up the idea that if Tom Brady is retiring, maybe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in a rebuild and maybe some of their wide receiver talent would be interested, or the team would be interested in trading them away. We had the Mike Evans conversation yesterday. What are your thoughts on both of those things? The Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers neighborhood, and potentially Mike Evans being a wide receiver the Packers could pick up in a trade?
Well, so the second part is, and I don't know what Mike Evans' contract situation is or what have
you. He's got 1 year left on it, Jason.
So the second part of that is obviously, do they trade for him regardless who the quarterback is, Gabe?
No, I think the way, again, you probably need an answer sooner rather than later from Aaron, because I would guess Mike Evans would be a highly sought-after name. But I think you can convince Mike Evans, if he has any, man, I don't know if I want to play in Green Bay, played a warm weather my entire life from Texas A&M, played at Tampa Bay. Well, you just got to come up here for 1 year. You come up here for 1 year, we make the push with you, Aaron, maybe another piece, make a push for a Super Bowl in 23, and then in 2024, you can go. We're not going to franchise tag you. You can go be an unrestricted free agent. I think that's the pitch.
Okay. Then obviously it's predicated on Rodgers.
100%. 100%.
I love the idea. I doubt it'll happen. But
right,
I love the
you.
Idea. And then on the flip side, you know, look, if Rodgers is going somewhere, that's fine. I'm not rooting for that. Again, I think it's going to be fascinating, whatever they decide, whether it's Jordan Love time, it's going to be fascinating to cover that. This is, I love covering the journey. If they trade him and it's Jordan Love time, though, my friend Judy Batista used to be at the New York Times, who's at NFL Network, was already asking if I'm coming out to New York to cover part of the training camp. And I told Tausch I'll be doing shows live from the sideline of Jets practice instead of the sideline of Packers practice, because I'm going to go see it. Wherever he goes, I'm going there for a while. I'm going to convince the bosses that I need to cover it. I did not go to New York when Favre got traded, and I've always regretted that. The greatest line ever, and I'll let you guys go with this, Rob Domofsky goes to Cleveland, because that was the first preseason game after the trade that sent Favre to the Jets. And Favre's in a press conference, and he looks over and sees Domofsky, and he says, "Rob, what are you doing here?" And Rob eternally regrets not having the comeback of, "What am I doing here? What are you doing here?"
That would have been great.
Speaking of what are you doing, you got your phone ringer on over there?
He always does.
It's Aaron Rodgers.
He always has his phone ringer on. It's never off.
We know it's not Brett Favre.
Well, you better answer that, buddy.
That would be an ignore.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. We are also appreciative that we got the old fire alarm situation handled so that we could hear your brilliance this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Thanks, bud.
This show is on fire.
That's right.
Show is on fire.
Which is better than me singing the Sonny and Cher song that I was going to sing all morning long, the song from the alarm clock on Groundhog Day. Jason Wilde
is,
of course.
You might hear that on our show.
Oh, I'll go ahead and sing it anyway. Jason Wilde, of course, can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right here on ESPN Milwaukee. We'll take a break. Roll on right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size. What the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
If Aaron Rodgers is a groundhog, and let's just say for poops and giggles, he saw his shadow like the actual groundhog Punxsutawney Phil did this morning, which apparently means 6 more weeks of winter. I think we've established that now, right? I know every year we kind of go back and forth like, I'm not exactly sure what either of the options means, but I believe seeing the shadow means 6 more weeks of winter. What is it for Rodgers? Let's say Rodgers popped out of his Pebble Beach hole this morning, saw a shadow. What does that mean? Is he? What's the good? So we all know that the 6 weeks of winter is the bad thing.
Yep.
Right? We don't want the 6 weeks of winter. We want to welcome spring sooner rather than later.
Correct.
So what is the seeing his shadow equivalent of here?
6 weeks till his decision.
Yeah, sounds about right. Like, that's kind of the timeline, isn't it?
Right.
But that's...
Which puts it middle March. When's free agency start?
Middle March.
I think the options are, is he staying or going?
Yeah.
Is he staying with the Packers or is he being traded? I just don't know which one is the bad one.
Which one's the bad one?
Is he?
He's
like, I liked my way better. It was a lot less difficult.
I don't know. Jason said something about the fans. I think all the fans want is if he stays, then you're all in. We're going for it. We're getting Mike Evans. We're drafting a tight end with the first pick. We're going for it. If they ain't going to do that, then pack your bags and smell you later. Right? Isn't that what we all want?
Yeah, I've pivoted to that point where I don't care what Rodgers does. To me, it's all on Goody.
So if he saw his shadow today, it means he's leaving or it means he's staying? No, it means he's staying for you. Because
yes.
You think the good thing
he's staying and they roll it back.
That would be the bad thing.
That's the bad thing, right?
But him leaving to me would be the bad thing. I want him. I want him to stay, and then I want Goody to go get him a wide receiver, and I want to take a swing at a Super Bowl in 23. That's what I want.
But if he see if he saw see, his
so
shadow,
if he saw
like
a shadow, the bad thing is he's leaving.
The bad thing is he's leaving.
Bad thing is he's leaving.
So if Aaron Rodgers saw his shadow this morning out at Pebble Beach, it means he's leaving.
Yes.
Again, we're just grasping at straws here, man. We got no idea what is happening here. The Green Bay's of our lives. Green Bay's of our lives rolls on. And I did think it was interesting when Jason was talking about the leadership element of it and when he was endorsing Rich Bisaccia, because logically, don't you think the Packers want to hold on to Rich Bisaccia?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean,
so Rodgers endorsing him, does that help or hurt what the Packers want?
I mean, I don't think any team is going to go, well, Aaron Rodgers, you know, I don't think, you know, they're going to go, oh, Rodgers endorsed him. Let's take a second look. The teams are going to kind of do their own thing regardless.
Let's take a listen to what Aaron Rodgers had to say about Rich Bisaccia. I know we referenced it with Jason, but it's always good to hear what he had to say.
If anyone ever called me as a reference, one name that has been floating around out there who I would give a ringing endorsement to is Rich Bisaccia. I'm a tremendous, tremendous fan of his. He is a prototypical leader who wants to be respected more than he's liked.
See, I would take that. If I'm LaFleur, I'm like, you know what? Bleep you. Wouldn't you? Right?
I mean, it's... The repressed feelings inside of Matt LaFleur have to be out of this world at this point. Because the number of times that Rodgers has thrown him under the bus.
You think it's to the point where he's going to Goody and like, you know what I said these last 2 years that we have to have him? Kick this guy to the curb. Right?
Maybe.
Because wasn't Matt LaFleur, was it 2 years ago, on his hands and knees saying, please, please bring him back?
Well, because I think Matt LaFleur recognized that what was best for his career and for his resume was to have a future Hall of Fame quarterback under center. Right? Like, 1 + 1 = 2 type of basic arithmetic. And it goes back to what Jason was saying that Goody had said about like whatever the headaches are that go along with having that caliber of a player at that position, you kind of deal with. And it does feel like Matt LaFleur accepted that as part of his reality. But yeah, it's got to be annoying. It's got to be annoying to every time he steps in front of a microphone, he is glowingly complimenting the guy. He is taking his side. He is taking the fall. He is taking the blame. He's never pointing fingers. And he doesn't seem to get it in return.
No, the glowing stuff LaFleur gets is, oh, you have very nice eyebrows.
But that's not it. Even... But
you
not
know
even,
what I mean? He never glows over LaFleur like that.
Well, he's making fun of LaFleur's eyebrows.
Right, exactly. It's always the passive.
I know, but he's never saying, this guy's a great coach. Hey, we had a down year. It happens. We're going to bring it back, man. Where's that?
trying to think if Rodgers has ever said anything nice about LaFleur.
But again, this goes back to, guys, man, if he could just like check his ego at the door, like anyone else in his position could be aligned with like a PR firm or just somebody, a PR rep that would basically every day be like, here's how we maintain a manicured identity. Here's how we maintain a manicured personality. Here's how we maintain a high Q rating. But he's such an egomaniac that he's like, no, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to say what I think about my coach and people are going to appreciate me because I'm honest and I'm blunt and I'm straightforward. And like, it's just unnecessary. That was a shot at LaFleur.
Do I think that Rodgers really likes Matt LaFleur? No, but complimenting one person doesn't mean you're knocking down another.
But in this case, it does.
I don't think so.
I do. I think that's what he's doing.
No. I mean, if he wanted to take a shot at LaFleur, he would. Like
absolutely
he did,
not.
Like he did in the
no,
press
no, no,
conference.
No, not right now. Not now when they're all very conscious of not being the bad guy. I think it's all the passive-aggressive reading between the lines with him.
Not here.
If I sat here, Gabe, and went, you know what? Jim Smith is unbelievable at radio. He's mm-hmm. so good. I mean, yeah. if we had, you know, and if I went on and on and on, you'd be like, you know what? Screw you, Chewy. You know? Am I right?
He was asked a question about coaches that he likes, and he answered with Rich Pisaccia.
So let's use that example. He was asked about coaches he likes.
In terms
he was
of
asked
like,
about co-hosts that he likes, because again, they're all in the same Packers family, and he's like, Jen is great. If I had to give an endorsement, I think Jen would be a great... Like, you wouldn't be like,
but the,
hey, man.
The endorsement...
I'm right here.
The question dealt with coaching and positions that are open across the league. He's not going to give an endorsement for Matt LaFleur to take a job that's open when he already has a job. It's more about, oh, this guy should be interviewed for these positions.
Gabe,
that was the question. That was the answer.
But if
we don't have to do this song and dance with literally every Aaron Rodgers answer he ever gives. Like, he literally just answered a question. That's all he did. He was asked a very direct question about jobs that are open across the league, and he said, yeah, Rich Pisaccia should fill one of
those. But you want to know what's crazy is? The guy doesn't get the benefit of the doubt from me anymore, Gabe. Because too often when he's asked a question, rather than just directly answering the question, he's got some ulterior motive. He's got some other agenda, and he uses whatever the question is to weave and wax poetic about whatever that alternate motive is. And so in this case, yeah, there is a part of me that immediately is like, dude, and I said this yesterday, where is your shut the hell up guy?
Yeah.
Where
doesn't
is
exist.
He? I mean, but again, go out and hire one. Go out and buy one.
I couldn't.
Like, for the sake of your reputation, for the sake of your legacy, for the sake of, like, keeping that Q rating at least where it is, find somebody who can tell you to shut the bleep up.
I agree. I couldn't imagine Brett saying what Aaron says about LaFleur into the game. You know, those three plays were ridiculous. It would never happen. What does that serve? What does it serve?
Him.
It serves him.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Shut your mouth. Right? Go say it with Cobb with your glass of scotch and Bakhtiari. Go say it in your little man cave there. That's fine. But there's stuff you just don't put out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Not disagreeing with that at all.
The guy's a douche.
800-990-3776. Let
I just
us
think
know
we're
how
looking
you're feeling
too
this
much
morning.
Into this specific one.
No, I agree with you. We beat up on him, but he brings, like Jen said, he brings a ton of it. This guy, the more I look at it, he's much worse than Brett. No, not today's Brett. Sorry, I take that back. When Brett... qualified this. When Brett played. The whole retirement thing.
Sure.
I mean, it was annoying, but this is at a level that's just like so much for 48 there, Ashton.
Don't look at me.
Hey, can we get the go to break at 48? It is now 54. Sorry.
So I guess we should go to break then, huh?
Sure.
We'll be right back after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What?
Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen
even
to his
I don't
interview,
know.
The way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney.
Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Have you ever been close to tragedy? Or been close to folks who have? Have you ever felt the pain so powerful, so heavy you collapse?
Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. We are asking you, because of course it is, in fact, Groundhog Day. Who have you got, Bill Murray or Chevy Chase? Today is Bill Murray's day. Gabe mentioning that he'll be out in Pebble Beach as well. But Chevy Chase is also one of the big name actors of that generation, of that era. And we were figuring that, like, some of the films, the filmology, if you will, kind of cancels each other out. What do we say? Ghostbusters and the vacation movies kind of.
Yeah. I mean, Stripes.
There was how many Ghostbusters were there?
Two.
God, I didn't think they were that great.
Nah, they're fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it spawned off a cartoon series that I loved as a kid. So, like, I watched the cartoon series a ton. And then as I got older, discovered the movies.
I don't know. I'd call it a push. What did Phil do today? Did he see it or not?
Saw his shadow.
Okay, great. Don't know what it means.
Six more weeks of winter.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I know. But you just cram it in your pie hole.
But Dario's thought on this is that the seasons are shifting. So whereas it used to be, we were kind of like right smack in the middle of winter in December and January and February, and then we were kind of on our way out at that point.
Yeah.
Now he thinks winter doesn't start until January, February, March, and even into April. So you're not even getting to like the warm days until May.
Yes. Or I maybe can certainly remember as a kid, November being a lot colder.
Has been,
than
yeah.
it is.
But I mean, it wasn't that long ago where we've gotten, I mean, I remember golf season ended quickly at Brown Deer when there was a foot of snow that covered it 4 years ago.
In November?
October 31st.
October.
It was Halloween.
When's the first time we had significant snow here? Last week?
Over the weekend?
Significant? Yeah, probably.
Over the weekend. But that's year in the area. Like, in Horicon, my parents had some significant snow before that. I think the lake kind of protected us a little bit.
Do you even know what it means if Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow? Can Chewy even spell Punxsutawney?
Not a chance. I don't know if I can't. I know I can't.
Let's try after this.
Okay.